Hello, thank you for being with us in New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Dr. Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. Hello. Today, we want to invite you to be with us in this conversation with Rav Lyman to learn how to create better relations that we'll use in our life that will bring happiness, warmth, security, abundance into our life, that we'll feel that everything's flourishing. And each time we take Rav Lyman and these discussions on a journey into one of the sectors of our life in which we have connections with the people around us. And in this current series, we're doing it straight into the home, the family. We're all people with families, whether it's our parents or our kids, our grandchildren, doesn't matter how old we are or where we're from. We belong to some small circle that's called the family. We're trying to learn in this series how to maintain the family unit in a new way. We see that the situation today isn't so great. Families are coming apart, crashing, whether it's divorce or inner collapse, and we want to get up and do something. We want to learn how to do it in a different way, to learn something new that will truly be able to bring us to a new life. We feel that everything we learn at home we'll be able to use outside the home, and we'll be able to connect with the people around us. It will bring us profits in all our relationships with other people in general. Be with us. It doesn't matter how old you are, if you have kids or not, you'll have a lot to learn here for all your relations in life. Nitza, get us into the discussion today. So in the other shows, you explained to us the model, the new model of the family. Let's say the round family. You taught us that in this round model, there are principles of listening, of participating, mutuality, how to create a feeling of belonging, that I'm part of the family, how the parent actually teaches his child to be part of it, how we listen one to the desire of the other. We learned this in the previous show. Today, we want to add to this model a subject that's very, very central, and it in itself is in a crisis. It's called parents' authority and a parent's ability to set boundaries. Why is it a crisis? If we look at the last years, what happened, a generation or two back, the authority was very clear, it was hierarchical. There was a place of fear. The father would say something, the mother would say something. There was no question. It was clear that's what they had to do, and that was it in the old days. A few years went by. The new generation, let's say the generation of our parents or even us, it's a generation that's starting to educate in a more open way, more love. I would even say more friendship. Parents want to feel that they're friends with their kids, want to feel like they're friends. So a generation has developed. We can see the younger generation. It's a generation that it's very hard for them to make decisions. Their self-image is low. Their security is low. It's because they haven't experienced a feeling of some wrapping of authority, of a family, that gives kids a feeling of a very safe framework, a very clear framework, a solid framework in which they can begin developing and growing and verifying themselves in relation to that. Because this subject is so significant and it's not clear and there's a lot of confusion, we wanted to discuss it today and ask maybe the first question: how do you see the subject of parent authority in this model that you've presented to us? If you started to speak about previous generations compared to this generation or the last two generations, then there's a very big difference. Throughout history that we developed in a natural way, in a gradual way. Gradual meaning the parents were understood more, they were more learned, educated, they were more mature than the children. They knew where a child would get stuck, they knew what he would experience in his life. because life flowed in a slow manner and there weren't such drastic changes between the generations. Technology changes, the whole significance of life, confusions and the new laws and relations are changing so much between everyone. But rather, there was the family. Throughout generations, that's how the family existed. And therefore, with me and my neighbors and all the previous generations and in all the books, and it's all set out very clearly and simply. There's parents, there's kids, and the parents control the kids. And there was great power. The parents had a lot of power in making the rules, and this is how it's done. And it was clear to everyone that the parents control the kids, because the parents, they grew up, they heard their parents, they listened to their parents, and they know now when kids, when people have a child, they know, first of all, that it's next to their next to their parents, meaning the grandparents, they all live one next to the other. And the main thing is that if I would give birth to kids, let's say a few generations ago, before this current period, then I would know what's happening with them. I would know what kind of life they're going toward. They're going to school. Then they're going to some work or to study, to get married, have kids. To make a long story short, I already knew what was happening with them, more or less. Not next to me, maybe in some other place, maybe in a wider world. But at the end of the day, the family wouldn't fall apart. Not the family itself, but the parents and kids. They have their own kids, and they would still be close to the place, nearby. And this whole process that the kids would go through, the parents already knew it. They had gone through it themselves. The generations developed slowly, so the parent would know and be able to direct his children. And that's how, if he's directing them, then chances are that's what would happen. Therefore, the parent had greater authority, the government, the family. It was clear to everyone. They had experience, and everything flowed like that. The previous generation educates the next generation, prepares the way for them, paves the way for them, because they know what's happening. But in the last few generations, we're in a bit of uncertainty. Of course, it depends which countries and which cultures, but here we already have confusion, and it mainly comes from our inner development, in our desires, in our thoughts, achievements, that we say a generation is not like it was. It truly is a very different generation, with its abilities, with its attributes, with its demands, and also the technology that developed. It developed in such a manner that it suits the younger generation more. With my kids, all these technology is for them, and I'm like not in that generation. Even though I'm alive, I'm no longer in the generation that they're living in. With all the computers and SMSs and all this style of life that's beyond our normal life around the planet, with English that covers everything and with the international culture that's catching on everywhere, and they don't care about all other things. We used to live in in our country, in a limited place. And we had our culture, we had our education, we had our heroes, we had our language, and everything was more or less And now it's all around the world. And I'm not built for that. It doesn't attract me. I don't grasp the world in this manner. And kids, for them, it's their life. It's their world. I see myself, say, at the age of 20, 25, when I used to fly, what plane I would fly in and what places I would fly to, and still it was, each time it was an adventure. And today they go into the airport, they fly here from continent to continent. For them, it's they don't even pay attention to it. They don't even know where they are. They're there 10 kilometers in the air, or now Manhattan, or Tel Aviv, or Europe. For them, it's all the same thing. The world has become round. In every place, there's the same food and clothing and the same sports shoes. Everything's the same. They have a common language, more or less. It's a generation that we didn't go die in time. They're like living not in our time. So in this manner that kids are developing, I see according to my grandchildren that a four-year-old grandchild, he does something on the mobile phone, even though he doesn't know anything, but he's built for it. He's built for it. And for him, what's a computer, what's a TV, and what's this phone, the cell phone? And he talks with me like, to him it's clear that we can talk. I'm talking to my grandfather, and that's it. And my grandfather doesn't really hasn't adjusted to him, but for him it's natural. It's like there's a dog and a bush and a tree, etc. And so there's also this. It's a completely different life. And because they live inside this new technology and culture and this new connections, they feel that it's for them, it's their life. They don't feel that with this we are actually, they don't feel that we're bigger than them, but rather the world is. The society is big, yes, but because they have such a strong connection with the world and everything, we're like, it's like we're not in their horizon. We're somewhere there in the background. We're the ones that gave birth to them, but they gave birth to us, and that's it. Here, we can't do anything about it. The child that is born, his feeling after a while is naturally becomes like this. And also they also look at their teachers in the same way. They're educators, that they're also apparently come from the old generation. And here we need to understand it's not going to happen forcefully because we can't stop their development. It's against nature. Now we can talk about authority. How we can give them authority. That really this support that we give them will be in the correct place. And here we need to, only through our education, the integral education, we can give them access to the new life. The parents or the kids? The kids, but first of all, the parents. We need to educate the parents. So the parents will be able to give the kids what our kids never receive. But rather, they need to receive it precisely from the parents and the family. They need to receive from their parents and family the integral approach to life, that all the technology in this whole big world and this whole big mess, It's all okay. It's in front of you. But how do you approach it? How you absorb it? How you absorb this picture correctly? This parents have to keep giving kids. But in accordance with the new world, so apart from the fact that it's a world with all the new technology, with the access to a global life, we need to teach our kids to be global. The fact that they can scan the whole world in 1 minute, it doesn't mean that they know how to read it properly. And that's what we need to give them. And that's called the integral education. In a few words, can you describe? I want to describe my impression. Okay, go ahead. I want to expand it so it'll be clear, because you gave something here that so really arranges your head, because actually, once upon a time, we used to look at our parents as the smartest, they knew the most, because parents have to give kids direction in life. And at one point, they knew how to do that, because once upon a time, the world was egoistic, linear, and the parents would teach the kids, do this, do that. And it's better for you to do this and do that. The parents had this inner program, how to treat the world out of their experience, their life experience. And they passed it on to the kids like this. Therefore, they had the authority to educate and demand, because they had the same approach to the world, the parents and the kids. Today, parents have an old program. The younger generation doesn't have a program at all. They can't get from their parents the old program, because they're living, it's as if they're living in another generation altogether, but a new approach they don't have. They don't have. And the parents are still parents. But when will they be able to have authority? When they truly have the correct approach to the new world. Therefore, they need to go through a course, the integral parent, call it like that or whatever you want. And in this course, they need to learn what needs to be the new approach to the new world of the parents. And then they'll have the authority, the full authority, to pass it on to their kids. And then they'll understand one another. Even though the kids are more sophisticated and with all these devices and new means that we have, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's nothing. It's just games. It's just a way of life. It's just like an improved way of life. But their attitude to life will be better. If they're together in the integral approach, they'll be on the same frequency. They'll be in the same direction. Then they'll know how to help and rely on their kids, and their kids will understand and accept this approach from their parents. And there'll be a connection between the generations, meaning the parent can be really have authority only on the condition that they have, they can be relied on in this manner. Otherwise, no. I just want to strengthen what you said. I'll even give examples, because parents today have no choice. Therefore, we can, with this inner pain, we can attract them to the integral education. I want to give you an example, just to emphasize how it happens in life. A friend told me her son is 3 years old. When he was at her grandparents, he asked his grandfather to do something on a device, and the grandfather's trying to do it, and he doesn't succeed. So the grandchild says to him, Granddad, you're really lacking a use. You're really useless. I remember she said it to me, and you know what he said? And it's like natural. And it's true because he knows things. He anticipates that his grandfather will know things that he doesn't know. And at such a young age, he already understands that the old generation has nothing to give them. He can't tell them anything about this world. It was really like crazy. Now when you're telling this, it really sits right there to show kids not strength, not pressure, but to show them that we have new wisdom that they don't have and that no one in the world has apart from us. Then they'll understand that we have authority. They'll give us that authority, not that we'll take it by force. So meaning a child needs to know that he has who he can rely on, that you understand the world, that you understand where you're directing him to, and that he's directing me properly. If he feels that I don't understand how the world is working, they have to see us as wise, great, and influencing, full of wisdom that doesn't exist in the world. They need this, and we have it. Precisely, in the integral education, that's what we can provide. I know my grandson, he's 10. Once we were in a place, and they wanted to see something. There was some movie on TV in Canada, and they had guests over. So he said, "That's my grandfather," because they put on one of my films. And that's authority. You have to convey to the child this feeling. Of course, his poor grandfather can't organize anything on the device. That's really a big blow. It remains with the child for his entire life. This bad impression, really bad impression. But it can only be toward the upper force, only toward a society or a world, something that's above us. Then we give him an example that we have to relate to the issue like this. What does that mean? Toward civilization, toward humanity, toward nature, toward the upper force. Then I show him precisely how I am like a little person toward that. I teach him also to be small toward that. And in that, I'm teaching him that in that, I'm also great, that I approach it like a small person. He has to see greatness in it. Can you give me an example so I'll understand? Like the religious people take their kids to pray. So the father that's praying to God, he doesn't look small to the child. The child understands that toward God, that's it. Toward nature, toward the world. The world, not with its culture, etc., but also nature. There's things toward which we need to show our children the example that we need to go from beneath upward. Can you give another example that has nothing to do with religion? Not religion, nature. I'm saying about nature. Hurricanes, all kinds of phenomena of nature. There's things that we have to respect because it's above us. And not because it's bigger than us, but that it gives birth to us. And so it's also our parent. Nature is our parent. God is our parent. Therefore, in that as well, we need to explain to them, and therefore we relate to it with respect from downward upward. We look at it. I wanted to ask here, if I understood what you said up till now, it won't help us to try to apply authority to the kids. They'll just run away from you, or they'll laugh at you. And the way to acquire authority is to show them that I'm wise, that I understand life in a manner that nobody understands, and that my wisdom, this understanding, my special understanding of life, I'm conveying to them. Yes? Yes. So let's get into that a bit. In what am I? The fact that you're bringing him this education. Yes, but beyond the title, what is my wisdom? What does he need to feel? Let's look at it from his side. We talked from the parent's side, now let's talk from the child's side. The child, if the father, the mother, if the parents acquired this knowledge, and they give it to the child, what does the child feel as a result? What does he feel? That his parents understand the world, that they're the smartest, they're the strongest? How does he know that we got the correct result? He feels that we're teaching him something, that it's worth it for him to know, and that in that he understands the world more, he understands life more, he's more successful in life. But it's through workshops, of course. It's through workshops that we do together in the house, the round table that we do in our living room, in the kitchen, where we sit together. Then we sit down together with our kids, and in that we teach them the correct attitude to everything. It can be to nature or to humans, inanimate, vegetative, to relatives, strangers, to the profession, anything. A person's viewpoint outward from himself needs to be integral to everything. What does that mean? It means that we're allowing him to feel the right way to connect to everything in reality, like we teach him the wisdom of life, what kind of world he's living in. What does that mean, what kind of world he's living in? The right way to relate to everything, what things he has to look out for, which things he needs to get closer to, wisdom, science, friends, culture, education, and what things are harmful, what things we need to distance ourselves from. That's what we always taught. What's new here? The new part is the attitude that in every place we want to create a friendly attitude of connection and see the world not with the corrupt people, but to see that the whole world is round. And when I come to some place and I'm with people, I will want to relate to them in a round manner, to nature in the same way, to my friends in the class, it doesn't matter how old I am. If I relate to all these things in an integral manner, I'm positive I will receive, I will get less blows and disappointments, because I'm going along with the law of nature, along with the development of nature, its trend of development. And surely I will profit more than others, and I will lose less. To relate to my friends in a round manner, an integral manner, is it the same thing? Yes. Of course. What does it mean? It means that in every place I try to organize an environment, an equal environment, a friendly environment. Friendly to who? To everyone. If it's round, it's not to who, it's everyone. I didn't understand. If I'm in a class, or if I'm at work with people. Let's say I'm in the class. Now we're trying to feel what my son is feeling in class. What wisdom is he feeling after a while? That his parents are special, that he received tools that nobody has. It's difficult if he's just one. No, I'm saying that how he influences the teachers and the school, that's what we need to influence. But I'm jumping to the end. I'm saying authority will be a result. He'll feel that you have something, that you have assets, you have wisdom that no one else has, and he'll appreciate it, and that will be the result. You need to understand your life yourself. When you pass on this wisdom, then you'll have authority. Again, if you don't give it to him forcibly, but rather he gets it through home workshops. What's the difference between them? Because he doesn't want to be preached to. Being preached to is pressure. Do this, do that. All kinds of advice that I'm recommending. But what happens in a workshop? His understanding. I want to be sure that I'm not preaching to him. You continue with the workshop. Hang on. Maybe he'll tell me what not to do. What does it mean, don't preach to him? What does that mean, don't preach to him? It means that you don't want to force things into him without any explanation. Or give him an explanation that he's acting against his egoistic logic. That it's not worth it for me, what Daddy says. That's what I feel. But rather I agree him because they're forcing me to. Of course not. We see that it doesn't work. That's why there's a crisis throughout society. What does it mean it doesn't work? Do kids want to accept this? No. They don't even want to relate to you if you're acting like that. You said something so powerful. You said preaching to someone is either forcing something in or it goes against the logic of his ego, which is very powerful because they have some inner system that's very sophisticated, and if you say something and it doesn't sit with them well, they throw it back in your face. You don't understand anything about life, they'll say to you. Is there anything else that we shouldn't do? Is there any other emphasis? Nothing. Don't say anything. Shut your mouth, Daddy. That's it. But rather, only through example and only through speaking, that him himself will understand one thing from the other. That his moral of the story he'll be able to attain from the workshop. And then you can discuss it. You can discuss what each person understood. And if someone didn't understand something, then you can add a few questions that you can verify between you until you reach the same conclusion. And that remains with him. And then again and again, until he sees that that's logical and that's correct. And the fact that they don't behave like that at school, etc., that's another issue. Of course, they don't behave like that. But you teach him how it needs to be logically, according to logic. What do I put in front of my eyes in one sentence? What emotional place do I need to take him to with the tool, with this family workshop, so that if you come to my home after a while, if you come to implement it in your house, how will you see my kids in a little while? That you'll say, yes, the integral approach. We both grasp what you said, both parents. We succeeded in passing it on to our kids with these tools we're receiving from you. And then at the end, if you were here at the beginning and you came at the end to see the kids, how would you want to see them relating to us in a different way and that other kids don't have? A kid that begins to organize his brain and heart this little small brain and heart in an integral manner begins to absorb things at a very high level compared to the other kids because he has no fear. He doesn't have any fear. He sees that he's part of life. He sees how life is built. He feels it. He accepts it. He has an inner scheme. And what he's discovering as results, as the elements of that same picture. He's reading what's in front of him and the relations between people. He understands what motivates people, their egoistic attitude, big people, little people, and his environment. You give him a method. You open his eyes, his ears, that he absorbs reality, but you explain to him how to connect all these impressions that he receives into one integral image that includes all these impressions in the correct manner. I didn't understand. You said that I'm teaching him how to put together all his impressions. We're talking about that all the details of the world, all the parts, the elements, inanimate, vegetative, animate types of animals, plants, people, it's all parts of the ego. And we all relate to one another like that to get the most with minimum investment. I give examples like this. Look how we're all attracted to rest, but we're also attracted to absorbing the most to fill ourselves. And I give them examples from nature around us, from people's behavior. I explain everything to him. And with this general perspective, and then in this manner, that everyone wants to take advantage of the other, wants to take advantage of his fellow man, and especially people that have the biggest ego. The other parts of nature are operated by nature. A person has to act in this round manner so that everyone will feel good. And if I know this law of goodness and operate according to it, I will be in the most convenient situation for everyone. I will be in the most safest situation compared to everyone. I will have the lowest chance of someone coming to harm me. And I'm in a situation where I have the highest chance of acquiring many friends and connecting with the right things and positive, beneficial things. That's called the wisdom of life. Because before, Mami used to say to him, connect with him, don't connect with him. Do this, don't do that. She used to just preach to him. I don't want to preach to someone. I want to give him this inner program. I want to give him this wisdom so that he'll know how to implement it in life. And what does it depend on him having this program? What's the basic algorithm in the program? What's the rationale, the basic rationale at the basis of this formula? Whoever's connected to everyone in a good manner, or let's say who has the attribute of bestowal, he profits at the end of the day. How do you define in a good manner for the sake of his fellow man? And what about his own good? There you will benefit for sure, because it suits the law of nature, which is the integral connection between all parts of reality. And I am suiting this law. I'm in the law. So why is it bad for me? How can it be bad? I just need to integrate more and more and more inside this law. And then I open for myself a completely new reality. What does it mean to be connected in an integral manner to the kids around me, to be friends with everyone? It sounds a bit naive. We experience such a connection. We learn it from the workshop. It's a law of nature. It's not that I'm preaching to him, don't do this, do this. I'm proving to him. 1 + 1, we talk about it, equals 2. He discovers that. And the lesson is that he himself begins to understand and feel that it has to be this manner. And then we have to be connected all properly and good. We're connected well to one another, and that will be good. Why is that correct? Because it's the general law that's operating on us. We're in this bubble, in this sphere, and that's where this law is operating. The integral connection between all parts of reality. And if we don't make mistakes, if we don't suit ourselves, if we don't suit ourselves to this law, then we suffer at all levels of life. How do I bring my child to this insight through workshops? What will be in the first workshop? You're saying I should never, I'm starting to understand the difference between preaching to a child and developing in him this inner wisdom, like you say. Preaching is like I'm giving him the conclusion, and I'm forcing him with my authority as a father. I'm saying, take it. But not preaching to someone is developing this inner program with the help of the integral education. It allows him to reach this feeling by himself. So let's say, what's the first station we need to have? First development as a child. His first insight, his second insight, or his third insight? Let's say you brought him to this conclusion that I said it's a bit naive, that it's worth it for me to be friends with everyone. So apparently if I say it to him, it's naive and I'm preaching to him. But if he reaches it after ABC, then it's already the program that he truly acquired. Did I understand you? Yes. So what's the first station? What's the first, second, third station? If we are in our family, if we're two parents and three kids, five of us, we're all of us, and we're really mad at each other. I can see by your face that I identify with the situation. How many claims does each person have, and how we can never reach any connection, any compromise, and how much aggravation we have, and we distance from each other. How much are we ruining our lives? We'll do it with this wisdom that we have, this criticism. Let's calculate. I'm asking everyone now. We were arguing and we're not getting along with each other and everything. Each of us has to bring has to see bad things and good things in a situation where we're all in a war. He has five, he has four, he has more, he has less. Let's see all of us. We'll write everyone down. From five people in a discussion, maybe they'll have three people will have bad things to say about what's happening in the family. That each and every claim means that I want to escape from everyone. Claim means that I want to escape from everyone. A reason that I want to escape? No. Each claim that I have, what is its significance? That I'm not happy being with you, that I want to escape from you. To justify why I want to escape from everyone, it's the result that I bring. Let's say I have five claims against everyone. I have five claims against each person. I have way more. I want to run away from all of you. I've had enough of you. I'm not capable. I'm in like a prison here. I have no choice. If I had some place, if I could be somewhere else, then I'd run away. Thank God I have a room that I can close myself off and no one will come in. I see that you understand the situation also completely. Right, right. Now we're going to do a workshop. We're going to do the opposite. Okay? Everyone sits down. We're doing an upgrade. We're holding hands. And we're starting a game. Of course, it's a game. We're still mad at each other. It's hard to get rid of it. But we're starting again. We're starting something else. How much can each one say as an actor? Like more or less. Not to exaggerate too much. Pleasant things to the other person. As much as possible. We're also keeping track, let's say. And then we're discussing it. Let's say we're talking about Nitsa. You make a good omelet, mommy. We see how we appreciate her, that she's a good slave for us.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing about Dad. Daddy took us to some zoo or something. The father is the driver. We're learning this in some egoistic manner, consumer manner. We relate to each one like this. We talk about it, of course. Do we analyze it the way you're analyzing it? I'm just saying it, so it's a stage. It's a stage, tell me. We're not analyzing it? We're analyzing it, but I'm not getting into it. Don't say, now we need to analyze it and reach this insight. Do we need to reach this insight? Like you said, that we're consumers. Yes, 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 that we have to put on the table, that we don't need to be ashamed of it. Just the opposite. We're opening everything up. I say, the little brother, I can't go into the toilet after him. It stinks. Even to such an extent, everything's completely open. And whatever there is in the family. So we were in a positive workshop with the game. We were saying good things. Then you say after the good things, we get to the next stage in the workshop where we understand that whoever gives us services is good for me. Yes. What's next? In other words, I love whoever serves me, and I hate whoever requires something of me or limits me. Clear? He hits the wall from the other room. When I have music on, he bangs on the wall. And, you know, each one is full of complaints. How can we live in a family like that? That's the next stage, yes. Where everyone wants to escape, that's natural. Now we understand that it's natural. How do we reach a good life? I'm just waiting to grow up and run away. I don't have a minute at home. No one helps me, and everyone's demanding things. I'm here. Thank God I have some corner. In other words, let's imagine for ourselves now. Let's make a picture where we're all righteous. Not righteous, but that we're all, how can we put it, not gentlemen, because that's also like an insult nowadays. We're all integral people. How else can I put it? What does it mean? The integral person that he wants everyone around him to feel comfortable. That's an integral person. How can each one of us now make of ourselves an integral person? That each one is concerned that others will feel pleasant next to them. And what disturbs us from behaving like this? If we, in our society, if we start to strengthen this approach and respect it, what are we choosing for each of us to have a big prize at the end of the week if we behave correctly? What can be the price? That we'll go to a coffee shop. Say, give us, doesn't matter what. To bring home some big cake with cream, icing, 5 kilos, doesn't matter what. Or the opposite, some all kinds of food, or to go to some special place, even expensive, it doesn't matter. Let's choose some price. Let's maintain ourselves, let's hold ourselves for a week so that we'll get this price. We'll hold ourselves how? In our good relations, in relations that I pay attention to everyone, that they'll feel only good things from me, and they about me. And that's how we strengthen one another. We even do it in a good way, as if we're all making an effort. According to my nature, I feel like giving you a zapta on the way. You know what I mean. You know how it is. The opposite. We're doing one big theater of heaven, the Garden of Eden. Of course, we're all being hypocrites, but suddenly we start to discover that if we hold ourselves like that, we ourselves maintain ourselves, each one holds everyone, and everyone holds each one, then we begin to feel that there's some type of foundation that's being born, that is giving us like this pillow from which we can manage ourselves at a different level in this new way to relate to things. And this becomes our habit. This becomes our really our habit becomes second nature. And then, at the end of the week, or after we brought this big prize home, it can be a prize that we'll do something together, all of us. On the weekend, we make a calculation. What did we profit from the week compared to the other week that we were angry the whole time? What did we lose? What did it cost us compared to that same power that we used to lose by getting into one another, by fighting? In that way, you go through this family learning and you build the family. Now, of course, it can't just be in one family. It has to be in a few families that belong to the same class in school. I think that we are in a parent course. We're already a few parents. And if everyone's learning the same approach, then we're doing it in our homes. We're already pressuring the school to start to have studies like this in school. Now there's a question. You emphasize that throughout the week, you said it many times, we're strengthening one another. What does that mean, we're strengthening one another? How do you strengthen each other? How do we give positive reinforcement the whole week? Maybe even with an example would be best. That we, at the end of the week, let's say we give a prize. That's at the end. But you said throughout the week we have to reinforce each other. Instead of hitting someone, sometimes I have to give them positive reinforcement. Before she comes, when she comes next to me, I have to smile at her. Before somebody comes through the door, we say, how are you? What's happening? We are playing. We're really operating a game. What's it called? The Big Brother, or whatever you want to call it. But let's say myself as a mother, and we can see it also who strengthens the others more, and they can also get an extra prize at the end of week. You can do all kinds of competitions that are positive. Like Baal HaSulam says that then he gets a medallion. A positive competition, let's say, a few times I wanted to do something, but I rose above my... Then say that to the other person. I wanted to smack you, but instead of that, I'm petting you. You strengthened me on that afternoon, and you didn't pay attention. You strengthened me. Each one has to write it down. And then each one in that gives points to the other. Now, the more that each one feels that these points from the other person, that they're giving to the other person, the other person profits, not you profit that you're writing it down. The other one profits. So it turns out at the end of the week, I got the most points because I strengthen other people. So I'm the excellent of the week. I get the prize. Otherwise, why are you strengthening them? Our talk is up. We're going to keep talking about it. Please try to summarize for us in a few sentences what you wanted to teach us about parent authority. I took it as a light that authority you don't take by force. It was also like that, but because we were simple egoists and the children were also, then we could direct them in the right way, and today we can't. Now we need the integral education, and then we need to convey it to kids, and they'll feel we're giving them the wisdom of life, and that way we're acquiring authority in their eyes. Thank you, Rev. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. The wisdom of life. Until next time, all the best. So long.